Our new bestie has changed how we track our investments. Why have over 400,000 investors chosen ShareSite? It's simple. This online investment dashboard for your investment portfolio supports over 500,000 stocks, ETFs, and funds, plus integrated with more than 200 platforms, ensures your entire investment portfolio is organized and accessible in one place. Move beyond the limited insights from brokerage statements. ShareSite offers a comprehensive view of your financial performance, including analyzed reports, dividend gains, and the impact of currency fluctuations, all through intuitive graphs and visualizations. But here's the best part. For the investee besties out there, ShareSite is offering a special deal. Save 4 months when you purchase an annual premium plan. It's time to dive deep into performance metrics, streamline tax reporting, and share your portfolio with ease. Join the link in the episode description to sign up to ShareSite now and transform your investment experience. Hello and welcome to Girls That Invest. You're joined today by your host, Sim and Maya, two millennial investors who are here to help you learn about all things investing and personal finance. Hello, Maya.
Kia ora, Sim. KTP here, queer. How are you?
I am very good. We got a request in the DMs today, actually, by someone saying, hey, love the podcast. You were the first podcast I found who would like talk about investing, but you haven't had a lot of investing content. And I was like, that is very fair. We have been doing a lot of personal finance stuff. And like, you know, the last couple of things we've been doing is like how to manage your debt or how to plan if you're about to lose your job or like being attractive. Does that impact your money? But we're excited to come back today and talk about the thing that matters the most in the entire world, which is the share market.
Yes, but quickly before we get into that, Sim, I just want to talk about the New Zealander of the Year Awards. We haven't properly spoken about it, and the timing will be a little bit off because we record a little bit like batch record. So it'll probably have happened a few weeks ago, but I did just want to mention it. Sim's like looking at me like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
No, I think it would be amiss to not congratulate you and to talk about it a little bit on our cute little podcast and just congratulate you on the amazing mahi that you are doing, that you have done with Girls That Invest, and to just let you know that I'm so proud of you. A saying that I really treasure in Te Reo Māori and the Māori language is poho kereru. Poho kereru o ia koe. And so that means poho is chest and kereru is a native bird in Aotearoa in New Zealand. And one of its main characteristics is it puffs its chest up really proud. And so it's a really proud bird. And so that saying, poho kereru o ia koe, means that I am so, 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 so proud of you and just so happy to see your achievements and to have them recognized with the amazing mahi, the amazing work that you are doing with Girls That Invest.
Oh my goodness, Maya, I feel like I'm getting shy.
I'm shy, I'm coy.
I'm coy. No, thank you. It means a lot. Young New Zealander of the Year is such a huge award and no one looks at those awards and goes, that's me. But I couldn't have done it without you and I couldn't have done it without the support of the community and I could not have done it without, you know, the team that we work with. And I don't know, it's fun to do work that feels impactful and to be recognized for impactful work. That's a beautiful thing. Just nod when you're ready for me to move on.
Mm-hmm. Sim's like, okay, so now let's get into the investing terms that you should know to be a good investor. What's the first one, Sim?
I'm really excited for this episode very quickly because every time someone asks me like, what's the first step when it comes to investing? Or how do you know if you're going to be a good investor? I'm like, you just need to know like the terminology. Because once you get the terminology down, you're like, oh, it's actually not that hard. And then I realized we never actually did an episode where we talked about the terminology that we could refer people to. But the first word that you need to know or term that you need to know to be a good investor is asset allocation. Now,
Very simply, we're just going to rapid fire these because we've got a few, but asset allocation is just a fancy way of saying where you're putting your investments. If you had a pie and that pie made up 100% of all the money that you had, asset allocation is saying, hey, 10% of my money is going to be in shares, 20% of my money is going to be in real estate, and 70% of my money is going to be in cash. It's just the percentage that all the different investments that you have sit. And so that is literally it.
Perfect. That is very simple to understand. I love the pie analogy. And so we will quickly go through them because there's about 15. Yes, 15. The second one is diversification. This is the practice of spreading your investments across a wide range of sectors, industries, or asset classes to reduce risk. The idea is that if one investment performs poorly, the others might perform well and offset the losses. So essentially just that saying, don't put your eggs in one basket. So just spreading out your eggs to diversify your portfolio to reduce risk.
Nice and simple. We're going to start off with the easy ones. And I want you to let me know at the end, out of the 15, if you know all 15, I hope that by the end, there's going to be a couple more that when you're listening at home, you're like, oh, I actually didn't know those. The third one is going to be the bear market. Now, you might see this on the news. We're in a bear market. We're in a bull market. What's the difference? A bear market is just when the share market's prices are dropping and they're falling by 20% or more. That's the special number, the magic number. If the share market has dropped 20%, we're like, oh no, we're in a bear market. This is bad. The market is dropping. Things are cheaper, so it's good for us investors, but on the news, it's seen as like a bad and scary thing.
And so the fourth one is bull market, which is the opposite of a bear market. And this term refers to a condition where stock prices are rising or expected to rise, typically, again, by 20 or more percent, leading to widespread optimism. So the opposite of bear market.
Do you know why they call them bear or bull market?
Is it, you know how the bear like veers up with its horns?
The bear?
Oh, sorry, no, the bull. I'm doing like the motion with my little horns. Is that it?
Yeah. So bulls fight with their horns upwards. That's why it goes up. And apparently bears fight with their paws downwards.
Striking down.
Yeah, they strike down. The next one that you need to know if you want to be a good investor, because honestly, the difference between being an average investor to someone that is like fantastic is just not being scared of these terms. Market capitalization. This comes off a lot. Some people call it market cap. And market cap or market capitalization is just one of the ways that you value how big a company is. And so if you're like, hey, the biggest company in the world out of all the car manufacturing companies is Tesla. It doesn't mean Tesla makes the most amount of cars. It doesn't mean Tesla has the most amount of people that work for it. It's just its market capitalization. That's calculated by timesing the company's share price by the total number of shares outstanding. So if a company has like 1 million shares sort of spread it around in the world and the share price is $10 a share, you times $10 a share by 100 million shares, and that is the size of the company. And that's why you see that like Apple is worth, I don't know, like $3 trillion. That is where that comes from.
I love the simplification of that, Sim. And this word, I did have to practice it a few times. Liquidity?
No.
Liquidity? Liquidity.
Yes.
I still got it wrong. To be fair, I was talking to myself, so there was no one else to correct me. Okay, so liquidity, this term describes how easily an asset or security can be converted into cash without impacting its market price. High liquidity indicates that an asset can be sold quickly, while low liquidity implies it might be hard to sell without taking a loss.
It's kind of like saying, hey, if I have a share, that's easy to sell. But if I have a house and I need that money, that's going to take a couple of months.
Yeah.
The next one is volatility. And this, in like fancy ways of explaining it, this is how much variance there is in a trading price of a share over time, and it is usually measured by the standard deviation of logarithmic returns. Now, did that make sense to you?
No, that sounded like a math equation.
That is so funny. Okay, let me try again. Volatility is how much a share price moves up and down. And if one share, let's say a share of something like Walmart, which is pretty steady, Walmart's maybe going to go up like 5% and down 5% in like a time frame of a week. Whereas NVIDIA shares might go up 40% or down 40% within that same time frame. So NVIDIA shares have more volatility. It can go up and down more. And high volatility just means more risk. It means it's more dramatic.
Mm, okay.
It's like high volatility in a share is like saying, oh, that guy is super volatile and you don't know what he's going to do next.
Volatile isn't a good word. So high validity, high risk.
Yeah. You don't like words that end with ility, do you? Like liquidity and volatility.
I don't mind them. I have nothing against them, but it might be a little bit more difficult for me to pronounce. Yes.
I'm just pulling your leg. What's the next one, Mike?
The eighth term is dividend. And so a dividend is a portion of a company's earning that is paid to shareholders. This is typically done on a quarterly basis, and dividends are a way of companies to share profits with their investors. And Sim, I remember the other week you posted about Facebook, Meta, distributing their first ever dividends, which was 50 cents per share.
Amazing. Do you have Meta shares?
I don't.
Nah, fair enough.
Yeah. Nah. Not for me.
The next one that you need to know is index funds. Now, this may be one that you already know, but to understand exactly what it means, an index fund is either a mutual fund or exchange-traded fund that is designed to follow a certain index or a certain list. And so these are rules that the fund has to track. It is literally very, very simple, but basically these indices can be something like the S&P 500. So the S&P 500 is just a list. It's not necessarily a fund, but then an index fund can be made that tracks the S&P 500, like the Vanguard S&P 500, or the Spider S&P 500, or the Smart Shares S&P 500. But the S&P 500 in itself is not a fund. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Easy. See, these are not difficult once they're explained in like normal people words.
Yes, always in, I like to say, user-friendly.
User-friendly.
Yeah, user-friendly. And so the next one is price to earnings ratio, or is PE ratio. This is a valuation metric that compares the price of a stock to the company's earnings per share. A high PE ratio might indicate that the stock's price is high relative to earnings and possibly overvalued, whereas a low PE ratio might indicate the opposite.
Yeah, like we hate high PE ratios, we love low PE ratios. Simple to understand. For business owners, every transaction is more than just a swipe of the card. It's the culmination of your hard work, dedication, and commitment to your customers. That's why I'm excited to share with you a game-changing solution that's simplifying the way businesses like yours accept payments. Introducing Tap to Pay on iPhone, powered by Stripe. Contactless payments has never been easier. You can seamlessly accept contactless payments directly from your iPhone, and the best part, there's no additional hardware required. Think about it. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe cater to businesses of all sizes, empowering them to accept payments right from their iPhones. It's a game changer for businesses looking to scale quickly and stay flexible, with quick setup that takes minutes, not days. So, how can Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe benefit your business? It's simple. Increased revenue, expanded reach, and enhanced customer experience. It's a win-win-win. To learn more about how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can transform your business, visit stripe.com/tapiphone today. See, these are starting to get a little bit harder, a little bit more technical. Another metric is alpha. And alpha, when it comes to investing, is just a way to measure the performance of an index or a fund or a share, any type of investment, to a suitable market index. Basically, alpha is a number that you want to achieve to showcase the investment that you have made? Has it done better than if you just invested it in the benchmark? Or has it done worse? Or has it done just the same? So everyone's goal as an investor is to make sure that their money either meets the benchmark of the market. If the market, like the S&P 500, goes up 10% this year, you better hope that your investments have at least gone up 10% this year, because you could have just invested it in the S&P 500 and made 10%. If you've done all this extra work and you've only made 8%, your alpha is low, and that's embarrassing.
Okay.
Let me give you like a life example. So if you were like, hey, I want to invest in this fund, and the fund manager sits you down, you ask them, what was your alpha over the last year? If their alpha bet the market and they're like, oh, like we've done really well, you're like, damn, okay, the share market only returned 12% last year, but their alpha was high, so they returned like 24% last year. That's good. Their alpha shows that they made more money compared to the average share market.
Okay, so we like high alpha, don't like low alpha.
Negative alpha, embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Okay, cool. Beta is a measure of the validity or systematic risk of a security or a portfolio in comparison to the market as a whole.
I'll give you an example of beta. And the way that alpha measures, like, has the shares that you've invested in actually performed or underperformed or outperformed the average market? Beta is looking at, are your shares that you've invested in more risky, just as risky, or less risky than the market? So you know how we talked about volatility earlier? It's measuring volatility. And so if a beta is one, that's good. It means the risk you're taking is no greater than the market's risk. It's no greater than investing in 500 shares in the US. No stress. If you had a beta of two, you're taking on twice as much risk. And if you have a beta of 0.5, your investments are half as risky. So if the market, let's say, dropped 10% and your beta was two, your shares would drop 20%. Twice as much. The next one that you need to know, number 13, we are almost there, guys, is dividend yield. Now, this is the financial ratio that shows you how much a company pays out in dividends every year relative to the share price. And this is given as a percentage. And basically, this number is telling you, for the investment that you make, how much cash are you going to get from it? So basically, in simple way, we like dividend yields being high, because a high dividend yields is telling us that, hey, if I put like $10 into an investment and the dividend yield is 10%, I'll get a dollar. And if I buy a share and the dividend yield is like 60%, I'll get $6 for every $10 I put in. So it's basically trying to say, how much bang are you getting for your buck? Little tip though, if a dividend yield is super high, sometimes that's fishy, because sometimes that's like them saying, hey, our company sucks, so we're going to give you lots of dividends to make you feel like you should buy our shares, but we're actually like really struggling right now.
Oh, that's shady. So what would be a too high dividend, like a dividend to keep an eye out for?
A dividend yield that's like normal is usually 4-6%. So if you see something like 20%, that would raise some red flags.
Okay.
I don't love using dating analogies for investing, but it really works. It's like if someone is like quite nice to you on a date, that's great. If someone's overly nice and it's just too much, you're like, you're putting in a lot more than I'm giving. What's wrong here?
This is giving shade somewhere. You're compensating for something.
You're compensating for something. All right, Maya, what's the next one?
So the second to last one is expense ratio. And this is the annual fee expressed as a percentage of total investment assets that shareholders pay for mutual fund or ETF management, administration, and other operating expenses.
And surprise, surprise, we like these being low as well. Who would have thought? Now, the final jargon term, I know we've like thrown 14 at you, but hey, that's 14 words that you now like have under your belt. The next time a finance bro talks to you, you're like, actually, the dividend yield, that's a little too high. And that, Sim said, is like going on a date with a guy that's too nice to you. The final jargon term is market order. See, none of these makes sense. Nothing about the word market order is like, oh, I know what that means. Market order is just an order for you where you're saying, hey, I want to buy or sell a security, which is again another jargon term for stock or share or bond. It's when you're saying, hey, I want to buy a share immediately at the best available current price. However, when I go to buy it, there is a little bit of a delay, maybe a couple of seconds, maybe a couple of minutes, and the price of that share that I'm buying might go up or down a couple of dollars, but I'm still buying it regardless of the price change, and I end up paying what the price change is. So let's say I really like Apple, and Apple's share right now is $101, and I go and I click on it and I take it to the checkout. By the time I pay for it, maybe a couple of minutes have gone by and Apple shares are now $105. I now have to pay $105 because I'm buying it as a market order. And I just have to suck it up and understand that it's not going to be $101.
Right. So it's just like you buy something, you get to the register and it's more expensive than you thought. You can't change your mind and say, no, thank you. That's more than what I initially thought it was. You have to buy it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you go to the gas station, if you see that the price for your fuel is like $2 and you go to pay and the price outside changes, you don't have to pay the new price outside.
Mm.
You pay what you saw when you were filling up.
Yeah.
When you came in. So that's the opposite. That's not a market order.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the share market being like, oh, you wanted to pay $101. Well, it's $105. Oh, sorry.
Too bad. Your computer took too long to load. That's not our problem, babe.
Sorry, you live in Hamilton, New Zealand, and the Wi-Fi is a bit slow.
Yeah. It happens to the best of us.
It happens to the best of us.
In the best of places.
Did any of these surprise you?
They surprised me in, like you said earlier, just market order to what it actually means. That doesn't really make sense the way that how bear and bull market had that kind of visual.
Mm.
They're all not consistent like that.
No. I guess alpha, no. You know what? I was going to make an excuse for alpha, but let's be honest, nothing about that works. Off air, Maya and I were talking and we were saying that we kind of feel like some of these terms were made to be purposely hard.
Yeah, they are, because you can simplify them. And I think a little bit elitist. That's the same in academia as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't have to write things to sound this complicated. You can simplify it so everyone can understand, so everyone can invest.
Clearly, the terminology was not written by a woman like us, Maya.
It wasn't, but lucky we're here.
Lucky we're here. That is very funny. If you have enjoyed this episode, if you have learned a term, or if you have someone in your life that is starting to invest but is a little bit worried or confused or does not know where to begin, I truly think the best thing you can do is share with them this episode, get the terms under their belt. Because once you understand it, you're like, oh, wait, market cap is just the size of a company. A dividend is just how much money a company's share gives. A PE ratio is just a number, and the lower it is, the better the company is. Like, that's not that hard to know. So if you've enjoyed this, please, all we ask is take a screenshot, put it on your Instagram story, tag Girls That Invest. It helps us spread the podcast to other people so that more people can learn about investing, more people can grow their wealth. It is truly our mission, and it just literally makes our day. And we thank you for those that have already done that. We see you, we reply to your stories. It just is fantastic. And with that, see you soon, Maya.
Ka kite soon. Bye.
Bye. And as always, to finish off with the disclaimer, Girls That Invest does not provide personalized investing advice for your individual needs. We are not financial advisors. The advice from Girls That Invest exists for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon to make an investment or financial decision. Advice from Girls That Invest is general in nature and does not consider your individual circumstances. Always do your research and please do your due diligence.